In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we come to the 18th chapter in Matthew's Gospel. And if we know anything about this chapter, we find that Jesus speaks a lot about how we as his followers must be in relationship with one another. In this morning's passage, he speaks directly to what our fellowship ought to be like. He begins by saying, "If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone." In other words, if someone in community hurts you, angers you, saddens you, or does you wrong, go and talk to them about it face to face. Now, for some, this may be easier said than done, when oftentimes we are tempted to stew over the incident for days on end. Or instead of coming to that person, we decide to pick up the phone and tell the whole world how Devante or Quenisha did us wrong. Or instead of speaking directly to that person, we resort to tweeting or texting or airing our displeasure on social media. We cut them off. Or if we happen to run into that person somewhere, we either ignore them or give them the stink eye or the look. And oh boy, if looks could kill. But our sometime passive-aggressive behaviors are not acceptable in Jesus' opinion. Neither are our judgments. Instead, Jesus says that we are to work it out, to come to that person in truth and love, to be reconciled one to the other. He then says if that doesn't work, step two is to go back and take a witness with you. And if that doesn't work, take it to the church. In other words, we are to do everything in our power to get that person back. Like the parable of the lost sheep, we are to search until we find that brother and sister and make peace so that there can be healing. And when it is all said and done, we are to forgive, and then we are to rejoice. After all, that is what God does for us when we fail to recognize God. Because even God will try again and again to get our attention when our attention is elsewhere. Because God does not want us to be apart from God's love, because we are so, so very loved. God loves each of us as if there were only one of us, someone once said. And since we are so reconciled by God, we are to be reconciled with one another. In saying this, however, we recognize that this is all really, really hard work. But it is also powerful and healing. And healing is what we need so desperately at every level and in every facet of life, be it within our families, our neighborhoods, this city, our nation, and yes, even in the church. this Friday, our nation will remember in some way the 19th anniversary of the September 11th attacks. Most of us remember that day. A day when it seemed as if the world as we knew it ended. That morning snapped us out of our comfort and into something that seems like something out of the Twilight Zone. Many are still affected by that day and what seems to be unspeakable events ever since. So much of what is transpiring today in terms of Iraq and Afghanistan, Orlando, Sandy Hook, Boston, Ferguson, Philadelphia, Seattle, Minneapolis, Kenosha, Rochester. The list goes on. So much can be traced back to that day. Nothing has been the same. Nothing. Global warming, hurricanes, floods, wildfires, acts of terrorism, shootings, and senseless deaths. The pandemics. Our government in shambles. So much going on, even in our own personal lives. One thing it seems after the other. We can only wonder if we are living in the end times or in the new normal. And if so, what is our response to be? What is our response as the church, as the body of Christ, as disciples of Jesus, as individuals of faith? Who or what are we to be in times such as these? Well, Jesus makes it plain. We are to follow his examples. We are to be in fellowship with one another, no matter who they are. As followers of Jesus, you and I are to be open to the Gentiles and the tax collectors in our day. You and I are expected to be open and loving, compassionate and forgiving, no matter another's opinion or race or class or ethnic group. Remember how he opened his circle to Matthew, the tax collector. Remember how Jesus helped those who society kept on the margins. Remember how he loved even Judas, who would later betray him with a kiss. Paul wrote in his letter to the community in Rome, "Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law." To adhere to Paul's teaching, to the very command that Jesus himself gave us, may seem simplistic and insignificant. But it is the one thing that we can give to one another. The one thing we can give to others in these times in which we live. We can love. And this love, to be sure, is not just an emotion or a feeling. But this kind of love is measurable, tangible, and repeatable day in and day out, and much, much can change. If prayer can change things, then so can love. Love can build and shore up a community, a beloved community. When it seems as if the world is falling apart all around us, love can rebuild trust in relationships that we already have and want to have. Love can help us put our weapons down and put animosity and hate aside. Love can sit us at the same table so that we can hear one another and learn from one another. Love can tear down walls. Love is reaching out in very tangible ways. The great author, theologian, and civil rights leader Howard Thurman once said, "Don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and go do it. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive." Yes, love can help right the world and do more than put a Band-Aid on it or allow the pain to fester. Because you see, only love can make us whole. For it is time, as Paul says, it is now the time for us to wake from sleep. Salvation is near. The night is far gone. The day is upon us. Amen.